Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Personal choice are key words that we hear athletes use. But what happens when one of the most prominent athletes in the entire NFL uses that as a reason to do something that could be impacting his team? It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Obviously, this thin voice cracking you hear is neither Mike nor Janae. This is Jason Fitz filling in. I'll be riding solo for the first hour. Janae will be joining me after that. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And I got to start with some straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Now, Lamar Jackson has at times, for so many stupid reasons, been polarizing, right? The number of times people have tried to decide what he could look like as a quarterback in the NFL. The number of times people have said when he was in college that he wasn't going to be capable of things. The number of times people have looked at Lamar Jackson and tried to find an excuse for why they can't acknowledge his greatness. I'm not here for any of that. But we also have to separate parts of those conversations into the real and very prominent conversation we are having now across the entire NFL. And that conversation is about the personal choice that comes with the decision to be vaccinated. This is what Lamar Jackson said today about being vaccinated after he's now been tested positive for COVID twice.
I mean, you know, I just got off the COVID list. I got to talk to my team doctors and, you know, try to see how they feel about it. You know, keep learning as much as I can about it, and we'll go from there.
So you might go.
We'll see. Talking to the doctors, we'll see. I feel it's a personal decision. You know, I'm just going to worry about that with my family. You know, keep my feelings to my family and myself. I'm focused on getting better right now. You know, I can't dwell on that right now, how everybody else feels. Just trying to get back in a great routine.
Personal decision for a quarterback in the NFL is tough because, look, let me be very clear. First and foremost, as I've said a million times, I don't care what your stance on vaccination is, and I don't care if you care what my stance on vaccination is. Frankly, I can have this entire conversation without ever having that portion of it. If you personally choose that you don't want to be vaccinated, you're not going to listen to me either way, right? And if I'm choosing to be vaccinated and you don't believe in it, you're not going to listen to what I have to say. I understand all of this, but this particular instance is different for the same reasons it was different when we talked about it a week ago with Kirk Cousins, because personal choice isn't an easy thing to hide behind when you are a professional athlete. Look, you have a personal choice constantly. Lamar Jackson can make the personal decision to not stay at the facility longer and watch tape. He's got that right to make that decision. How's it impact his team? That's going to be the counter. Every fan will ask, how's it impact his team? My God, look at the draft process. We actually downgrade players in the draft because they make the personal decision to be interested in things other than football, and we use it as a reason, stupidly, to question their commitment. Think about that. Oh, I don't know. He's into the arts. He makes music on the side. Will these be a distraction? Mike Golic Jr., the very co-host of this show, has said before, when he went through the draft process, one thing he was coached on was the answer to the question of what else are you into? Because the answer has to be nothing. Because if you make the personal decision to be into anything other than football, a team will look at it and say, well, I don't know if he's really committed to making this team great. Personal decision, when you're part of a collective bargaining agreement, also is a layered element. Let's understand that the NFL and the NFL Players Association together decided where we sit today when it comes to the rules and regulations that every single team will face regarding vaccinations. Now, you can make a personal decision that you don't want to be part of that. An athlete can make a personal decision right before the combine that they want to smoke some weed. And then what do we say when they test positive for marijuana? For years we've done it. It's a personal decision. I was a musician for years. You guys know that. You know, we would always have this break at the end of the year. The end of the year you toured. And our busiest year with the band, I was out 300 days. And I got to the end of the year and I was physically exhausted. I took some time off. And then before we went into rehearsals, I started pulling out the violin and the piano again and started practicing again just to make sure that my hands were okay. Not every guy in the band did that. So when we came back together 6 weeks later, personal decision not to practice definitely impacted our shows. Because we went into rehearsals and we realized suddenly not everybody was at the same level. Not everybody was equally capable of doing their job. Personal decision is fine. But as they say, freedom of speech does not come without freedom of consequence. Personal decision does not come without consequence. That's real. And when you are part of a team and you see that your personal decision is yours to make regarding vaccinations without acknowledging what it creates for the rest of your organization, you're either burying your head in the sand or you don't give a damn. Which is it? It can't be both. It can't be everything. You can't turn around and tell me that you're making a personal decision. And we said this about Kirk Cousins a week ago. Kirk Cousins said a week ago, look, maybe I'll build a plexiglass barrier around me. I'll stand outside in the middle of December if that's what it takes. Really, Kirk? So your personal decision is to make everybody else stand outside with you in the middle of December because that's what you decided it took. He actually said in one of his sound bites, I'll do whatever it takes. No, you won't. There's one very specific thing you won't do. And to turn around and use personal decision as the reason for this, man, accountability has to mean something. Accountability, standing up and saying, this is why I'm doing it. This is how I'm going to do it. And frankly, I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. I can respect that. Fine. You don't have to care what I think. But you got to look at that quarterback room if you're Lamar Jackson and ask how they're going to practice, how they're going to get ready for every week, what limitations are going to be there. What if, God forbid, your starting quarterback tests positive for COVID? These are real things. Personal decision is yours to make. Personal decision is mine to make. But I also work for a company that now requires vaccination. In fact, I work for a company in ESPN that requires vaccination to travel. Now, I have for many years, I'm not this year, but I have for many years traveled as part of Countdown to Game Day, digital show. This year, I'm doing so many other shows, I don't get to travel. But still, I got friends that are going to be traveling for Countdown to Game Day. If they want to be part of that show, they have to make a personal decision. If they choose not to get vaccinated, they can't travel to college campuses. You can say personal decision all day long, but to not acknowledge what that personal decision does to the rest of the people in your union that collectively bargained on your behalf, to the rest of the people in your locker room that are fighting for the opportunity to make money for your team, that knows now that if you, as a non-vaccinated player, cause the cancellation of a game, it's a forfeiture, your team loses, and nobody gets paid. That's a hell of a personal decision. If I want to walk into Disney tomorrow, cut in front of the whole damn line, flip everybody off, and say, up yours, I'm going first on this ride, whether you like it or not, it's my personal decision. And the way Disney escorts me out of the park is their consequence for my personal decision. Any player right now that is just hiding behind those two words, any player doing that, has to be made accountable for what their actions will do to everybody else that they stand on a field with. It's not about accountability to me. It's not even about accountability to you. It's about accountability to every other person on that team that's relying on Lamar Jackson to pay their income. It's about accountability to every other person that has looked around and said, we win and we lose as one. Because the answer to that clearly now in Baltimore is not true. You do not win and lose as one. You do your best and you just hope that Lamar Jackson makes the right decisions, doesn't put himself on the wrong side of the list, doesn't cost you money, doesn't cost you the playoffs, and doesn't cost you games. Those are all real consequences for all of the other people not involved in Lamar Jackson's very personal decision. That's some Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chiné Ngolick Jr. just getting rolling. Obviously, one of the biggest stories of the weekend was the sad passing of a college football legend. We'll get thoughts from one of his best former players next on Chiné Ngolick Jr., ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Chiné Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
You're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Also hanging out with you on ESPN+. I'm Jason Fitz. In for Mike and Chinee. Don't forget, by the way, you can hang out with me. This is the start of an ESPN Radio takeover for the next several hours. Spain and Fitz, obviously, coming at you from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. So, basically, I'm going to be here all the way till 9 Eastern. Feel free to hang out with me throughout the portion of that. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Just visit progressive.com. Now, obviously, if you think back on the weekend and the big stories throughout the course of the sports landscape, I'm not sure there was anything that hit harder than the loss of legend Bobby Bowden, a legendary head coach. And we wanted to get some insight on that from some of the people that have been around him and that know him better than anybody. So to do that, we're headed over to the Goodyear Hotline. Warrick Dunn joins us, former Florida State running back, three-time Pro Bowl running back. You can follow him on Twitter, at Warrick Dunn. Warrick, really appreciate the time, man. Obviously, I know this is emotional for so many people that played for Coach Bowden. When you think of him as a man, what immediately comes to your mind is what defined him?
Well, I appreciate you having me on. When I think about Coach Bowden, I just think about the Christian man that he was, that he is, just the values that he brought and how his consistency just over the years, I just think speaks for itself. And he's someone that I think when you meet him, if people have met him, he's charming and delightful, and he's just someone that people just gravitate to. So he's going to be surely missed.
How did somebody so, to your words, charming, delightful, just had such an easygoing demeanor, how did he find a way to relate to so many players that came from such a different background than he came from?
Well, I just think he was open. He was open to just learning about people and seeing things from different perspectives. You know, and what I tell people is that, you know, in order for individuals to understand you, you have to be able to take that step forward, right? And then they come along with you. And when you do your part, I mean, Coach Bowden always did his part and following through, really trying to understand you. And it wasn't like, let's just put everyone in a general, you know, group together. No, he approached every player differently and gave them the attention, you know, that they deserve. So it wasn't that is one, you know, one shoe fits all. I mean, he designed each shoe, you know, a pants, a shirt to fit, you know, that particular player that he was helping out or talking to. So he just had a natural gift, and that's something that's really rare.
We're talking to Warrick Dunn, former Florida State running back, about the passing of Coach Bobby Bowden over the weekend. And, you know, obviously I've read that you're going to be speaking at his funeral. When you try and collect yourself to say something about a man, it's something that important. Sort of what's your approach?
That's the challenge right now, just really trying to figure out how do I sum up you know, his value, his legacy that he has lived, and, you know, just the impact that he's had on my life. It's going to be hard to, you know, really put that into a few minutes. And it's just something I'm still working on. And hopefully, you know, when I do speak, that I can share the impact that he's made on my life and how he's really helped me, you know, part of the reason of who I am. You know, you have people that come into your life that are there, that help guide you. And he's one of those individuals that that I look at because he was on my path, and he was right where I needed him to be at the perfect time in my life, because, you know, I was searching, and he was there for me. So he's a guiding light.
Warrick, I always think it's interesting, you know, college coaches come in and they help mold men into the NFL, and you had so much success in the league. After you left Florida State, what was your relationship like with Coach?
Well, it was, I was still close. You know, it's crazy. He treated me like a son. You know, that was our approach. We built a relationship when I was there, because I've always had conversations, and we talked about life, and it wasn't a game of football. And I just think we built a connection, is that no matter where we were, where I saw him, we engaged each other like we had been talking every day. And, you know, he was, for me, he was peace, right? He was comforting, and it was always just good just having Coach Bowd to bounce things off of. And he gave me good feedback, but he was also someone that challenged me just to be better. And those are the type of people that I really valued in my life.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at Warrick Dunn. Warrick, I know this has been a really difficult time. I really appreciate your time, your insight. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us. So sorry for your loss, man.
Oh, no, thank you. And it's, you know, it's an emotional time for everybody. The Seminole Nation is going to miss a legend. So he's a great, great human being. So thank you.
Thanks, Warrick. You know, it's one of the interesting things, y'all. Like, we talk so much about college coaches in the moment and their win and loss record. And one of the things that I think always hits me after the passing of a legend is just looking at the impact that those legends have had on so many men and women that moved on to do great things. You think about the coaching tree, and we always talk about what it has meant to success of multiple programs. I would challenge that at some point we need to stop and at least take the time to look at the coaching tree and what it means to the success of the human beings that were able to be a part of a person's legacy. And that absolutely is one of the biggest parts in my mind of Coach Bowden's legacy moving on. Chinay and Golic Jr. brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. All right, the road ahead just got very interesting in Arizona because the Cardinals are doing something that I think every other sports team in every single league should take a look at, take note of, but it might be dangerous. And I'll tell you why. We'll do all of that. But first, you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck sitting in your garage you've been waiting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. Who doesn't want that? RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle. Pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha. And even if you're just looking to trade in, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or model. All you got to do, this is so easy, go to RumbleOn.com today. Enter promo code radio. Again, RumbleOn.com today. Enter the promo code radio and get a $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash. That's coming up. Fast cash might be part of the Cardinals' future. We'll tell you about it next. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Jason Fitz filling in for Chinay and Mike. Chinay's going to join me in just a little bit. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. A couple of things. Number one, quickly, I do have to say, happy belated birthday to Christine Lisi. You just heard her on the SportsCenter update. Just one of the most genuinely kind and amazing people that work at ESPN. And also, as I've said many times on this and every show, the best baker I've ever met in my entire life. And that includes anybody that has been in my life. So, Christine, I can't say happy birthday loud enough, but I also am curious who tried to bake her a cake, because I would not want that in my, I would not want any portion of that responsibility. How do you bake the greatest baker in history something for their birthday? I don't think you do. So I'm just saying, Christine, oh, can I talk to Christine? Like, we got technology for that. Did somebody make you a birthday cake?
No, I made it and I brought it in today. So I actually let Rob, my husband, I said, what do you want me to make? And so he's like, I would like a yellow cake with chocolate frosting and crushed Oreos on top. And when I put the Oreos on top, he's like, oh, that's not enough. So I had to crush up more and put them around the whole side of the cake.
So what has been revealed here is that Christine Lisi is an actual saint. Like, it's just a real, you made your husband a birthday cake for you, Christine. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm now rooting for the Bills even more. Christine Lisi, huge Bills fan. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. Go Josh Allen. They did the extension right for me before my birthday.
See, worked I'm not out even well. Going to dispute that. Yeah, they deserve that. By the way, Josh, you should ask Christine for some cookies next time just to celebrate. Happy belated to Christine Lisi. In the meantime, we'll get back to some of the news and notes you need to know. One of them over the weekend regarded Peyton Manning. And let's face it, the Hall of Fame ceremony is always interesting, right? And I find myself, I'll be the first to admit this, as players I watch to get inducted, I find myself more interested. For years, I'm not sure that I paid a ton of attention to the Hall of Fame ceremony, because if it's somebody you didn't really watch play, how can you have a ton of perspective on it? I mean, you can go back and watch videos, but what do you really get from that? So I was watching the different speeches as they happened, some hysterical moments. By the way, shout out to Charles Woodson and Tom Flores, a couple of Raiders going in the Hall. Thank you. And in the process of watching everybody else, as usual, Peyton Manning just sort of stole the show. He just does everything better, including this little moment poking a little fun at Ray Lewis and Tom Brady.
The 2021 induction class wants to thank those previous inductees who gave long-winded acceptance speeches, forcing us to have a whopping 6 minutes to recap our football careers. I want to give a special thanks to my old rival, Ray Lewis, for being here tonight. Ray just finished giving his speech that he started in 2018. And speaking of rivals, my good friend Tom Brady is here tonight. By the time he is inducted, in his first year of eligibility in the year 2035, he'll only have time to post his acceptance speech on his Instagram account. Football carved out a place for my favorite quarterback, my hero, my role model, my dad, Archie Manning, to pass on something he loved to me.
Amazing moments from Peyton. You hear the emotion in his voice, but also didn't miss a beat on every delivery of every joke. And let's be real. At this point, the NFL needs to give him the title of czar. I don't know what you call whatever he wants to do, but he walks into the office and says, guys, this is what I'd like to do. The NFL needs to find a way to make sure that Peyton Manning is still the face of the league for the next 30 years. And it leaves me wondering, you guys can tweet me, at Jason Fitz, what athlete has been this dominant and is still this loved? Like, usually, LeBron, we figure out a way to hate everything he does. Michael, everybody wants to turn around and hate on Michael at some point. Like the NBA culture particularly, they like you till you're too good and then they turn on you. Like that's just the way that goes. But even in the NFL, like it feels like at some point people turned on Elway. And maybe that's just my Raiders fandom. People have definitely turned on Brady, mostly because he's never admitted that it was a fumble. There's no such thing as a tuck. But we see constant generations of greatness at some point just gets torn down by fans that hate on the greatness that isn't part of their team. I can't remember an athlete, maybe The Rock. Like, we'll go to WWE, we'll go to, like, sports entertainment. Maybe The Rock. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. Give me other thoughts on athletes that have been as accomplished, as great as Peyton Manning, that have somehow walked through all of that to this point of beloved. I can't really think of any others. Another piece of news that I think should be beloved comes from the Arizona Cardinals, who now announced they will be the first NFL team to have sports betting inside their stadium. Now, this opens up a couple of different angles that you need to think about. Number one, this is going to cause even more transparency as necessity throughout the course of the National Football League. Because action in stadiums is going to lead to some conversation when there's a blown call, right? If we find out that everybody, 80% of the stadium took the over, and then there's a blown call that causes a bad beat that SVP's talking about at the very end that makes it the under, oh, we are going to have just curiosity and beyond. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist. Everybody kind of knows that about me at this point. But I keep looking at it thinking, my God, you are opening every single lane of transparency will have to be there, because any time that there's reason for somebody to turn around and say, ah, but the betting in the stadium said, oh, that's going to lead to so much. But on the other hand, by the way, Chenae Golick Jr., Jason Fitz filling in, there's one great thing about this, and I'm surprised that my beloved Raiders didn't do this when they opened the new stadium. But, I mean, think about what your Sundays are like. Hell, think about what your Saturdays are like. But on Sundays, I get up, I eat a bunch of donuts. I make a charcuterie board from scratch, right? Make my own charcuterie, cooter plate, right? Then I'm going to go in. This year, I'm going to try and master handmade tortellini. Like, I'm going to make myself a feast from beginning to end. I'm going to sit in front of a large TV, not as large as Michael Luke Jr. would have, but still a large TV, a group of speakers in a climate-controlled area where my White Claw is at store price, and I'm going to drink too much, eat too much, and yell things at the TV while I watch the Raiders play. That's the way most of us are consuming sports. And COVID has allowed us to get away from some of the conversation about attendance issues. But I think realistically right now, every single team in every single league needs to be looking at this, saying, hey, what can we offer in the stadium that you can't get anywhere else when it comes to sports betting? If you knew that you could go into a stadium and as a result of just going to the game, you could place bets that you've never be able to place anywhere else. You can do props that you can't do anywhere else. Maybe they find tie-ins where they have bets that pay out with merch. There's so many creative ways that you could go in and say, hey, what can we do to make a normal fan into a super fan? And what can we do to make the experience of walking into this stadium so surreal that everybody will pay whatever it takes to come back? Because it can't just be about wins and losses to get butts in seats. It has to be about more than that. In fact, I'll be curious, as I fully intend to be, at the first ever Raiders game at Allegiant Stadium on Monday Night Football. Should say the first regular season one. I'll be curious to see, when you've got a $2 billion stadium that a city cared so much to build, what did they do to make sure that when you walk in that stadium, it's such a magical place? You can find amusement park rides anywhere, but you can't find Disneyland everywhere. There's a difference, and stadiums need to be focused on being Disneyland. And if that means sports gambling needs to be integrated, so be it. I'm interested to see how this precedent becomes opportunity to make a better game day experience for fans that are going to the games. All right, speaking of fans going to games, we got tons of fans getting ready to watch their teams through training camp. We're going to get through some important questions next, including, is Tua's arm strength a legit concern in Miami? We'll find out from an expert next. Janae and Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, filling in on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus, because we're fancy like that. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Mike and Janae. Janae will join me a little later in the show, obviously. Mike getting a little R&R, much needed. By the way, if you're just tuning in, feel free to hang out with me from 7 to 9 on Spain and Fitz. That's right. I'm just taking over ESPN Radio today, like it or not. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can also call in 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I asked earlier, by the way, if there are athletes we can think of that are as beloved at this point, as successful athletes, epic athletes, as beloved as Peyton Manning. Vinny tweeted me almost right away, Walter Payton, Muhammad Ali. That's pretty good. Pretty good list. But you guys can keep tweeting me at Jason Fitz. In the meantime, we're getting ready for training camp. Everybody's excited for it. I'm excited for it. You're excited for it. But we're going to get some expertise by doing a little bit of three and out, where we're going to get some three questions in on different teams. And today, we're going to focus a little here on the NFC East.
The Miami Dolphins.
That's right. We're going with the Miami Dolphins, and to get some expertise on that, we're joined by Amber Wilson, ESPN radio host in South Florida. You can follow her on Twitter at AmberW790. Amber, thank you so much for hanging out. You ready for this? Like, we're going to go through questions, we're going to answer, and this feels smooth. You ready?
I mean, I'm ready. Are you ready? You're doing 5 hours of radio today, the old five-hour shift. Are you ready? I feel like I should be asking you.
I'm like the Energizer Bunny. I just keep going. Like, I'm not sure any of it's good. I just wear people down. I figure, like, if you're around enough, people eventually will just accept you. That's sort of, you know, I'm like the kid that nobody knows how we got the invite to the party, but I'm still hanging out. That's, you know, that's my life plan. All right. Matt Leck, let's start this thing off. Let's get to the first question.
Number three.
All right. So, obviously, we're going to ask about quarterback. So, is Tua's arm strength a legit concern in your mind?
It's funny because that has been the concern for the Dolphins fans, certainly coming off of last season. It's his arm strength that we kept talking about. Can he throw the football down the field? And we didn't really know if it was a lack of physical ability to do it or if it was Chan Gailey's offense. Obviously, different OCs now than last season. Also, a different Tua. I mean, last season we saw a rookie quarterback coming in during COVID with no training camp. During the first half of the season, he doesn't get much of an opportunity there. Even in the second half of the season, Ryan Fitzpatrick's breathing over his shoulder. The Dolphins, they found themselves in the unusual situation of actually trying to win games at the end of the season to make the playoffs, and they felt like Ryan Fitzpatrick gave them a better chance to do that at the time. So it was a really tumultuous rookie season for Tua, not even mentioning that apparently he wasn't completely comfortable with the playbook I don't know what to make of last season for Tua, frankly. I'm not willing to really judge him yet. I have been encouraged by this camp, though, Jason. I really have. I mean, it's only 10 days, but as encouraged as you can be after 10 days of training camp, he has looked, we've always known he's accurate, but he has also shown that arm strength in this camp. So I would say maybe.
All right, that's a fair, I'll give a maybe's a fair answer. I don't mind a maybe answer. I'm going to do a bonus question before we hit the next 100. Do you think his weapons are good enough around him for him to really shine?
So he obviously, the Dolphins have brought in weapons to help him out. And I was going to mention when I was talking about his arm strength, most notably in this camp so far, his chemistry with Jaylen Waddle has been really, really obvious. I mean, he has really placed that ball perfectly for a receiver who is so explosive and so fast. And you know he wouldn't be able to do that after just 10 days of camp unless they had that history together at Alabama. So I think seeing that chemistry, and he didn't get that opportunity to really develop that chemistry with the weapons that he did have on this Dolphins team. And then you had the injuries to Devontae Parker and Preston Williams that absolutely killed them weapon-wise last season. So they brought in Will Fuller. They brought in Jaylen Waddle. They've got depth at that position. I mean, even Isaiah Ford has had a really good camp. Jakeem Grant has had a really good camp so far. So they've got depth at the receiver position. And woo, with Fuller and Waddle, they've got some serious speed. So yes, I think now he's got the weapons.
All right, Amber Wilson joining us. Let's go, Matlack, to the next question. I thought we were going to get a number two. There we go.
Bonus question.
Now that Xavien Howard has had his contract restructured, are they singing Kumbaya by the campfire and everybody's like ready to hug?
Everyone's ready to hug now. I think everyone won in this position, honestly. I mean, Xavien Howard, people were really critical. He signs the contract in 2019. All of a sudden, he wants more money. But I think really it's the entrance of Byron Jones into the same locker room as him that created this problem for the Dolphins, because it's one thing when, you know, if you're an accountant, because people always have a hard time relating to professional athletes because it's so much money and it's a weird business. But if you're an accountant and the guy down the street at another firm or in the next city over is making more money than you, that's one thing. But if it's the dude in the next cubicle over and you feel like you're better than him and you're producing so much more than him, all of a sudden it creates a problem. Even if you had just agreed to a salary with your boss, you might circle back to your boss's office and say, hey, I think I should be getting paid more than that other guy. And that's kind of what happened here with Xavien Howard, where at the time when he signed the contract, he was the highest paid corner. And then it looked very, very different in 2021, even though you could make the argument that he is the best corner in the league. He's certainly the best corner on this Dolphins team. In fact, he's the best player on this Dolphins team. So he wanted more money. The Dolphins, on the other hand, they didn't have to give it to him. They could have said, nope. Play, you know, honor your contract. You're under contract. Tough luck. But instead, they managed to reach a deal here that isn't a ton of skin off their back. I mean, it's a guaranteed salary this season. That matters a lot, of course, in the NFL. It matters a lot to a player who's missed a lot of time because of injuries. But otherwise, it's all incentive based. And basically, they're saying, hey, if you're going to go do stuff like you did last season, stuff we haven't seen anybody in the NFL do since 2007, then fine, you'll make that extra money. You'll make, what, $3.5 million or whatever it was odd this season in incentives. So really, I kind of think it's a win-win for both sides. Now everybody gets to hug and we're all happy. Kumbaya.
All right, let's get to the last one quickly.
Number one.
30 seconds or less. How does having higher expectations impact the team?
They went from 5 to 10. 30 seconds, Jason. I feel pressure here.
I know.
They went from 5-11 to 10-6, obviously, between years 1 and 2 under Brian Flores. Now it's big boy time. Now it's serious time. What they need to do here is they need to make the playoffs. I mean, 10-6 was great. 10 wins, it wasn't enough, though, to make the playoffs. The Dolphins haven't won a playoff game in 20 years. Let's at least make the playoffs. Let's start talking about winning a playoff game for the first time in a couple decades. But yeah, it's time also to put up and shut up kind of for Tua, because I do think he has those weapons. It's going to be a more normal season this season. And the rest of the team around him, particularly that defense, is great.
You guys can follow her on Twitter at AmberW790. Check her out in South Florida, ESPN Radio. Amber, as always, we appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out, my friend.
Thanks, Jason.
Amber Wilson joining us as we take a look at the three and out for the Dolphins. And I'm just saying, more pressure than we've seen on a young quarterback like Tua, I think, in a long time. I know there's always pressure on a young quarterback, but given the fact that he came in, this team got better quicker than anyone thought. And then we go into an offseason where there was at least the perception that maybe they weren't sold. Oh, There it is. It's a pressure cooker down in Miami. Coming up, speaking of pressure cookers, it's hitting Lamar and Baker right now because of Josh Allen's contract. We'll explain it next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.